Silent survey really quick, and this is a silent survey, silent in the room and silent online, okay, because you are in church. What do you say when you hit your thumb with a hammer? Yep, silent, right? It's in your head. Don't let it come out of your mouth. But I'm just guessing, no one thought that you would say, Buddha, right? When I hit my thumb with a hammer or whatever, I just go, aah! You know, something like that, because anything that might be in my head doesn't want to come out of my mouth. But nobody says Buddha when you hit your thumb with a hammer, right? You're all looking at me like, why would you say Buddha? Right. Well, think about it. Why would you say other deities' names as well, right, when we hit our thumb with a hammer? Hey, when our kids were little and we moved to Australia, we bought this box and we put it, hooked it up on the TV, and it filtered out all the swear words. And lots of other words, too. We had no idea what the shows were saying most of the time. Yes, we were that family. And then we actually went out then and we bought these dog collars that shock people, or shock dogs, I mean. And we put those on our kids when they started getting a little older. And when they would swear, we would hit it. Right? No, we did not do that. Okay. That's a joke. Okay. We did not do that. Our kids are fine. They're well adjusted and everything. Although it might be... It would have been fun, though. Hey, we had rules in our house to live by, and swearing was one of the things that was off limits. We all have rules that we live by. And the rules that we live by come from many different places. They come from family. They come from society. They come from culture. And we're in the middle of a series that is investigating some rules to live by. And we're examining the rules that God wrote down in an ancient book called Exodus. It's part of our Old Testament. It was part of the ancient original Jewish scriptures. And we've discovered some things in that. We discovered that the law, the rules that were given for Israel, do still have some relevance for us today. That many of the laws of our nation and other nations around the world might line up really closely with the commands that we find in Scripture. That's probably not an accident. We learned also that the purpose of the commandments is not for us to gain access to God or earn favor with God by trying to keep them to the letter of the law. In fact, we learned that the New Testament teaches us that the law actually functions like a mirror for us. You know, when you get up in the morning, you go look in the mirror. If your face is dirty, you wash it. If your hair's a mess, some of us comb it or whatever we do to fix that. Well, the law, the commandments in the scriptures are like a mirror for us. And when we look into that, we can see a mess, right? Anybody not see a mess when you look in scripture? Of course we do. Problem is, we still have no ability to fix it. And that's what Jesus coming and dying and rising again was all about. We'll come back to that at the end today so you can learn more about that if you've never heard that before. In the first week, we learned that there's heaps of people, including Lee, that want to influence us. And the great thing about influencers, though, is that they only influence people who allow them to influence, right? Okay? So whoever you're following, whoever you're letting into your life, you're allowing them to do the influencing. They're only an influencer if you let them be an influencer. We also determined that God is the one who actually gets to make the rules, because He created us, because He cares for us, and because He has way better plans for our lives than we do. So God gets to make the rules, and as we understood that God gets to make the rules because of all these reasons, then we determined that we don't need to be a rule follower, we need to be a God follower. Because if we're following God who made the rules, then the rules will take care of themselves. Because God is greater than us. Then last week, Pastor Deanna told us that God needs to have first place in our lives. He deserves first place. And she taught us that God's enemy desires our devotion, but only God deserves our devotion. If you missed any of that, let me encourage you to go to our website, go to our channels, YouTube and the app and all the other places, and you can get caught up. But can I also encourage you, while you're there, share that. Share that with other people, because their lives can be made better by listening in and seeing what God says about rules to live by. So today we're up to the third rule, the third commandment, which says this: you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. So we're not to misuse God's name. What is God's name? We did a whole series on the names of God, but you know what? Really, we don't actually know 100% what God's name is. It might be Yahweh, it might be Jehovah. Those are actually just guesses. Because in Israel, when they were writing down the law and all the things in Scripture, when they would come to God's name, they wouldn't write it down fully because they were afraid of actually breaking this commandment. So they would write it, if they did write it, they would write it without the vowels. So then we kind of guessed what it might have looked like. Yahweh, meaning I am who I am, or I'm self-existent. And Elohim, the words that are used in this verse are Yahweh Elohim. Elohim says God is the creator. We already talked about that in week one. Now, you've probably heard this verse before, and you may have heard it in the old King James language. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Anybody heard that before? Right? And if you've been in church very long, you've been taught that what that means is that we don't use God's name in our swearing. Right? If you're swearing, just don't use God's name before or after the swear words. Right? Or don't even just say God's name when you're frustrated or angry, saying, oh my God, or Jesus Christ, or something like that. Okay, I wasn't just using those out of frustration or anger. I'm telling you what you should not just say like that. Now, you've been taught that if you've been in church most of your life, right? Anybody been taught that before? That's what this verse means? Okay. Certainly, that is a misuse of God's name. But I'm going to suggest to you today and hopefully show you today that that verse means a whole lot more. It's a whole lot deeper than that. Some people have come up with the theory or the assumption that it means faithless prayer. That if we're praying in God's name, praying to God, asking him for things, and we don't have faith, then that's using God's name in vain, right? Because James tells us that we can ask in faith, believing. And Jesus said that if we ask in faith, believing, we have what we ask for. How good is that? Unpack that in your life groups this week, by the way, and figure out what that really means. Now, the conclusion. When we look at James, we look at Jesus, some people say faithless prayer then is using God's name in vain. Now, I do think we should have faith in our prayers. That's what they're teaching us there. We have to pray in faith, believing. But I would suggest to you also that is not what this verse is talking about, because people who misuse God's name in this way know fully the power of God. And they're trying to access the power of God for their own purposes and their own agendas. That's what we're going to learn here today. So our text is talking about misusing God's name. Let's look at that word, misuse. Now, it's the Hebrew word shav. Okay, say that with me. 1, 2, 3. Shav. Right. Don't you just love how they put words there? That doesn't look like shav, does it? Looks like saw. They're trying to do an English translation. Anyway, that frustrates me, by the way. Thanks for listening. But misuse means emptiness, vanity, uselessness, deception, worthless, without result, fraud, or deceit. So the primary word or the primary thought around misusing God's name and the word misuse is deceitfulness, lying, or falsehood. Okay, so that's our starting point when we're talking about misusing God's name. It's doing things deceitfully or falsehood. The focus of this command is primarily around using God's name and God's power for our own purposes and to influence others. So what does this look like today in our day and age? Now, Israel was told not to do this, and there's very specific reasons. We'll get to some of those. But for us, we do this today through our words. We do it through our words. That's one way that we do it. Our words, we've already talked about using God's name with our words, but it goes much deeper than that. Today, I want you to understand that our words also mean false proclamation, lying under oath. Okay, so taking oaths, saying, using God's name to affirm that you're telling the truth, saying, I'm not lying, I swear to God, or something of that nature, right? You understand that? Israel was actually supposed to use God's name when they took an oath, but it was supposed to be taken seriously. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13 and chapter 10, verse 20 tell us that, where God told Israel, use my name, but you better not be lying. you need to tell the truth when you use my name. It was intended to make sure that they took it seriously. Now, the New Testament, though, takes it to a whole nother level. James chapter 5 says this, most of all, brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no so that you will not sin and be condemned. Matthew 5, Jesus talking, uses very similar language, talking about making vows to God. And he says, don't make vows under heaven or under earth or in your own name or not even on your own life, he said. He said this, making it really simple, just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond that is from the evil one. So very simply, if we don't want to misuse God's name in this way, we need to say what we mean and mean what we say, and we need to follow through. As Christians, our word should be able to be counted on. We shouldn't need to differentiate when I'm telling the truth and when I'm not by adding God's name to it to carry more weight. We don't need God's name to affirm that we're telling the truth. Believers should be telling the truth every time words are coming out of their mouth, unless they're telling a story about dog collars that shock people when they're swearing and stuff like that. And then that's a joke, right? We get that. Believers should be dependable and trustworthy. So when we say something, our words should carry weight. Furthermore, our words not only need to carry weight and we need to not be lying, but our words need to not have false pronouncements. False pronouncements, manipulating. People misuse God's name when they misrepresent God, when they say that God said something and he didn't. The false prophets were into this. In Jeremiah chapter 14, it says this, the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you of you false visions, divinations, idolatries, the delusions of their own minds. God said, don't misuse my name like this. Don't use my name prophetically when I didn't tell you anything, is what he's saying. These false prophets were claiming to speak on behalf of God and have his authority when in all reality they did not. And if we went on in the text, we find out that God said, and they will perish. He took this very seriously. So what does that look like for you and I today? I would suggest to you that that looks like us claiming that God is directing or God is telling us to do something or telling us to tell someone else something when he actually hasn't done that. And that does happen today. Believe it or not, that actually happens in our world today. Have you ever heard someone say, well, God told me to do this or God told me not to do that, right? Anybody? No? Sure you have. You've heard people say that. And you know what's really frustrating about that? Is if you're in a conversation, and this happens for pastors quite often, somebody will be coming to us, oh, I believe God has told me I want to do X, Y, Z or whatever. And that's a trump card. Because that means I can't say anything else now. God told me, so you have to go along with it. And you know what my response to that is? If I don't think God's saying that to me, is, well, God hasn't told me, and I'm leading the church, so there we go. But anyway, we need to be careful with that. Saying, God told me. Because you know what we're doing a lot of times is we're putting God on the hook for what we want to do. And then when it goes pear-shaped and our life's a wreck and a mess and everything, we say, well, God told me. We're blaming God when it was actually our own silliness sometimes. Using God's name for our own actions, but also to manipulate others. Does anyone ever come up to you and say, God wants me to tell you this? I've got a word for you from God. You ever heard that? Now, some of you are going to get grumpy with me during this, okay? I know that, but please hear me out. If they're not sharing a genuine revelation from God with you, they are misusing God's name. If you say that to someone else and you don't have a genuine revelation from God, you are misusing God's name. That's what we're talking about there in Exodus. So like I said, don't get grumpy with me. Before you do, if a person claims to have a prophetic word for you, I think we need to pay attention. We need to pay close attention. But keep your brain engaged, okay? okay? Listen closely, but be discerning. Biblically, prophetic words, several things about them. Usually, they were specific, not vague. So many times, the vagueness of prophetic words that are spoken over people could be spoken over anyone, and you can make it work. Sometimes somebody will speak a word and then you have to figure it out and you have to back yourself into it to make it actually come true. I actually experienced this. Someone early on in my days of ministry came up to me and told me, you have the gift of healing. It's like, oh, I'm not even sure I believed in the gift of healing at that point in my journey. But anyway, I was like, wonder what that looks like. Well, I can tell you, if I had the gift of healing, I'd be in the hospitals and all over the place and trying to heal people all the time. And I've prayed for healing for people throughout my pastoral ministry, and I still will pray for healing for people. God is the healer, and I'll pray that he would heal them. But I never experienced that thing where I feel like a healer. But when I shared that with someone else many years later, and what they said was, maybe it's your ministry, because people who have been hurt by the church and disenfranchised by the church and things, a lot of people come back to God through your ministry. Maybe that's healing. Maybe it is. Or maybe the person that told me that had no idea what they were saying. So I'm saying, when you have to do all those gymnastics to try to figure it out, maybe you don't put a whole lot of weight on it. Pay attention, but be discerning. Words of prophecy biblically were also rare, not common. It wasn't, everybody gets a car, you get a car, you get a car, you get a word. You don't see that biblically, I'm sorry. And I know many of you have had words spoken over you and things, and don't discount it because of what I'm saying right now. But think about it. Keep your brain engaged. Words of prophecy were also, more times than not, they were warnings, not encouragement. Not telling people how great they were going to be one day. You see, it's different nowadays. And we want to hear those words that are good news for us. My approach is caution. Even in those rare moments where I may feel like God is saying something to me, especially about someone else, I'll approach them and I'll say, you know, this could be from God. Or it could be the pizza I ate last night. I may have gotten this wrong, but this is what I'm thinking God might be saying. You have to decide if this makes sense to you, right? So use caution with that, because false words lead to disappointment, delusionment. Some people have even left the faith because someone spoke a word over them and then it didn't happen. And now they're like, okay, if that's God and everything and it didn't happen, then I guess I'm going to chuck it all in. It's dangerous, friends. Our words can be very damaging when we misuse God's name to make pronouncements over people's lives when it's not true. So another way our words can be used to misuse God's name is when we exploit God's name for our own benefit. Now, in ancient times, most religions of the ancient world had chants and things or magic words they could say and attach their deity's name to it, and that thing would come true. God was telling Israel, don't do that. Don't use my name as a magic potion or a curse or something like that. And those are false pronouncements or false procurement. Where did we get to? Yep, we're at procurement now. Sorry about that. Thanks, guys. I just got confused. I was like, oh, no, did I skip that? False procurement. Very simply, this is praying, my will be done rather than thy will be done. Right? So when we go to God with our laundry list and say, God, do all this for me, not thy will be done. Israel was not to attempt to use his name that way. I think we do this in two different ways. They're kind of interrelated. We use God's name for our own agenda, claiming God's favor by asking him to align with our agenda. And then we have presumptive prayers where we're demanding that God does what we want him to do. James chapter 4 says it this way. Even when you ask, you do not get because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You know, we all want to claim where Jesus said in Matthew that whatever we ask in his name, we will receive. We love that verse, don't we? But friends, can I tell you, if you're following Jesus, what you're going to ask for is going to be very different than all the things that just went through your mind. You're not going to be asking Jesus for the big sports car and the yacht and all this stuff. You're going to be asking Jesus for power and authority to get his gospel out, things like that. You're going to be asking for his will to be done, not your will to be done. We see this when people politicize God. You know, we think God is on the moral right, if you will, right, politically. So we have to, when we have to vote there because that's where God is. Everybody else is of the devil, right? And this is divisive here, but back where I come from, it is crazy. But we get God to align with our agenda. If we are pro-whatever or anti-whatever, we say, well, God is that too. And we use God's name to back our political positions. Do you know, God has been used and his scriptures have been used to justify slavery for hundreds of years. God's scriptures and his person has been used to marginalize women for decades and decades, hundreds of years. See, it's whatever we choose, we co-opt God in to our agenda and say, okay, God's in alignment with what I want. That turns God into an idol that we use for our own purposes. Friends, this commandment tells us that we can't manipulate the Almighty Creator of the universe for our own purposes. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, God will not be used as a convenience. Wow. How often do we do that with our words? Friends, now, this might be all news to you because you've always been taught that this just means don't swear using God's name. Okay, so we're unpacking this today, and if these things have been a struggle for you, or you're thinking, oh, wow, I did that. Hey, now you know, okay? So don't beat yourself up for yesterday. Go with what you're learning today and say, oh, okay, huh, I need to think a little more carefully about how we're doing that. So finally, one of the most dangerous ways we misuse God's name is not in our words, but in our walk, and that's our false profession. Saying yes to Jesus' name. Saying, yes, I'm a Christian. But then living a life that says so much different. We see this regularly when people want to identify as a Christian because it's going to help their cause. Politicians do this a lot. They have massive conversions and things that are miraculous right before they say, now I'm running for office, or right after they say, I'm running for office. They claim God's name. It's hypocrisy. Matthew chapter 15 says this. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commandments from God. It's claiming God's name for your own religious purposes, for your own personal agendas, for saying you're a follower of Christ, but then not living like it. That's what Jesus is confronting here. See, generally, all of us, we decide to follow Jesus because it's going to benefit us, right? He's going to save us from our sins. Even if we're broken by our sins, we still want that salvation. And that's not a bad thing to say yes to Jesus. But see, the thing is, when we truly comprehend what it means to follow Jesus, we'll realize it's not a casual thing to say yes to Jesus. He's not just a fire escape from hell. It actually means something when we say we're going to follow Jesus. You can't follow Jesus and it not change your lives. When Jesus went and called his disciples and said, follow me, he didn't say, hey, take on my name, call yourselves Christians, and then go about life doing whatever you want. He said, follow me. That's active. That means your life is going to change. It should affect us when we follow him. Where we go, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, what our relationships look like. I'll tell you about a friend of mine who lives here, and he's agnostic. And when I have conversations with him, he's very open to having conversations with me, usually about political things back in the States or whatever. But when we have spiritual conversation, his struggle is when he sees people And a lot of his visibility of these people is in the online world, in the chat rooms and stuff. He sees people claiming the name of Christ, filled with hate and vitriol to people who disagree with them. And he looks at some of the things that through the history. He sees white supremacists and things like that who have carried God's name as their badge and things like that. And he says, if those people are Christians and they're okay, and God's okay with them, he has to be okay with me because I'm better than them. That's what his conclusion is. That's dangerous, guys. When that unbelieving world looks inside and says, hey, if that's Christianity, I don't want any part of it. Titus chapter 1, verse 16 says, such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. And with my friend, that's what I tell him. I say, hey, don't paint all Christians based on what you've seen there. Following God's not a casual commitment. And to be casual about it is to misuse God's name. You're claiming the name of Christ. You have to live like it. A guy called Brennan Manning said this, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Let that sink in. The world out there knows what it means to be a follower of Jesus. At least they've got ideas about it, what it should look like, and maybe that some of their opinions are distorted, and certainly we're not a legalistic kind of movement here. We're not legalistic in our practices and things, but friends, when the world looks at us and says, that's Christianity? You're claiming the name of Christ, but your life doesn't look like I've heard that Christianity looks like? It's the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today. So what do we do with this? Well, God's name is serious. He tells us that he's the almighty, the self-existent, holy and righteous creator of the universe. So how do we use his name? If he is the almighty, self-existent, holy and righteous creator of the universe, is he a swear word? Clearly not. Don't use his name that way. Do we use his name to tell people that we aren't lying? That shouldn't be necessary if we're following Jesus. Mean what you say. Say what you mean. Be dependable. Follow through. Do we use God's name for our agenda, treating him like a genie in a bottle, where we say the right words or rub the Bible just the right way, and all of a sudden it's going to come out and grant us 3 wishes? You think that's funny, but we do that, don't we? When we pray to God, we think he's going to do that. Well, I would ask you to flip that and treat God as a general in a battle. We are in a war. We're following Jesus, and it's not easy all the time. We need to treat God's name as that holy and righteous Father, the general in a battle. Finally, as we wrap up today, I want to ask you, are you a follower of Jesus? I've been talking to Jesus followers a lot today about how we use God's name. But in the book of Acts, so written by a doctor named Luke, he said this, for Jesus is the one. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There's power in that name. And it's the only name that can save us from our sins. Friends, if you haven't yet become a follower of Jesus, and you're actually kind of wondering, what is all this about anyway? If you're a follower of Jesus, this is how you should use God's name. I'd love to talk to you today. There'll be some pastors or some elders up near the front after the service. And if you want to talk to somebody about, hey, how can I find out about that name that there's salvation in? We'd love to have that conversation. And if you have decided to follow Jesus, can I encourage you? Live like a follower of Jesus. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the ancient scriptures that say we're not to misuse your name. Lord, I thank you for even what unpacking that has meant in my own thinking about this command this week. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to use your name in the holy and righteous way that it deserves. Lord, help us not to use it lightly. Help us not to manipulate people with it. Help us not to attach your name to our agendas so that we get what we want from others. Help us, Lord, to be in awe of your name. And Lord, help us share your name for what it really means. In Jesus' precious name, amen.